You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasodhi. It has all the ingredients of a riveting tale. Love, friendship and of course rivalry told through music, song, dance and more. Paper Crane, the latest musical offering from the Actors Studio Cine Theatre Rakyat, is an epic tale which spans 40 years and tells the tale of Akit, a Cantonese opera star. Written by Lim Chuang Yik and Teng Keegan, the Cantonese English musical has been given a contemporary treatment in design and music, and I find out what's cooking from the production's director, no other than
Joe Hashem.
Yes, Joe Hashem, musical director Mervyn Peters and choreographer Lex Lakshman Balakrishnan. How are all of you today?
Good. Good.
Gentlemen?
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said how old are we?
I said how are all of you today, gentlemen?
Very well, thank you. Okay. Very well.
Let's Hello, not Meera. Even let's not even talk about age today, Joe.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I'm keeping quiet because you told me that I can't speak today.
No, so you can only speak when you're spoken to.
Okay.
All right then. I'm going to start with Mervyn. Mervyn, I've never had you on the show.
Yes, this is the first time.
This is the first time. I've had Lex, I've had Joe on before. Mervyn, can you tell me a little bit about your career? When I look at you and when I was reading of you, you look like someone who came from RTM. Did you ever work in RTM before?
What a horrible thing to say.
No,
to somebody.
What is wrong with RTM?
You are terrible.
They have some of the best musicians, the conductors, that sort of thing.
Civil service. I came from civil service.
Yes. Okay, and how did music sort of become part of your DNA?
I liked music from the time I was very young, of course. When I came over to KL, because I'm from Alostar, came over to KL, and when I started working in civil service, eventually I found it was quite boring. I had to do something with my life in the evenings, and I started to get involved with music and theatre. And that's how I started getting into this.
So how long have you been involved in music and theatre?
Well, since 1975.
That's a long time.
Yes.
Did you know
last century?
Did you know Joe Hashem then?
I met Joe Hashem in December of 1990. Some kind of a conference or something or other.
Yes.
Many years later. Did you know of Mervyn, Joe?
Of course. He was, he's been around for such a long time. Mm-hmm. He's ancient. Like me.
I just said, let's not talk about it.
Lex is the only young and beautiful one, apart from you, of course.
Lex, we've had you on before. Nitya Sumangali and Black on Black.
Yep.
Even before that. What have you been up to since, Nitya Sumangali?
Right after Nitya Sumangali, we did Malaysian Girls, the musical last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so after that... after Malaysian Girls, I've been working.
Didn't come, you're right.
After Malaysian Girls, I was working for Song of the New World, another musical by Christopher Ling, and now we are working on Paper Crane. And this is a very exciting process for me, also.
Very interesting. Yeah. And Joe Hashem, you've been up to a lot of things lately.
I try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You came on with what, Kingsley Judd? To chat about
right.
the complete works of William Shakespeare. How did that production go?
Oh, fantastically well.
Yeah,
we did great. I mean, we got great reviews. We did great business. So it's the kind of theatre that you pray and that happens all the time. Right. But unfortunately, it's not like that.
Okay, right. Yeah. And what was the inspiration behind this whole production? This
Paper Crane?
Yeah, Cantonese English musical.
Well, as you know, we've worked with Chuang Yik and Keegan on several musicals. Mm-hmm. When they approached Farida and myself with they had about two or three, and we chose this one mainly because it's such a great story, and the music is lovely, and the choreography that Lex has put into it is really quite something else. But it was the story. It's always the story, in any production. It's the story and the possibility of having great songs. But it's been a tortuous rehearsal period.
Why is that?
Well, because it was written in English, and when I first read it, I thought, yeah, great story, but it needs to be in Cantonese. So we had to translate the majority of it into Cantonese, and then the lyrics for the songs, some of them after discussion with Mervyn, we kept in English, and about half of them we either mixed them with Cantonese or totally Cantonese. So from that process wise, it's been very difficult.
Okay.
Because I'm not Chinese.
Yeah.
Mervyn is not Chinese, and Lex is certainly not Chinese.
And that's ironic,
isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah.
There's no Chinese in this.
No.
In
well, this there. Well, yeah. we're very fortunate to have a very strong Chinese team supporting us.
Okay.
But even the writers, Chuan Yik and Keegan, they don't speak Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're yellow Chinamen, you know? No, banana Chinamen. That's what it's called.
Banana Chinamen. Yes.
So they don't even speak Chinese either.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm hogging the mic. So why don't you ask someone else a question?
No, but I wanted to ask you. So originally, okay. Speak when you're spoken to, Joe.
Okay. Yes, boss. What else would you like me to do, Mira?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
During the break, maybe. So originally, it was written in English.
Yes.
So why the idea to sort of do it in Chinese?
Well, I just felt that the story begged for it to be in Chinese, because mm-hmm. the story revolves around a Cantonese opera troupe and this young man who comes in and with dreams of becoming a Cantonese opera star. Now, let's not confuse the issue. The musical is not a Cantonese opera.
Okay.
It's about Cantonese opera troupe. That's the music itself, I suppose, Mervyn, is very reminiscent of Broadway and that kind of music. And it's beautiful music, very lyrical, beautifully performed. So if you're dealing with a subject matter of a Cantonese opera, and to have everyone speaking English doesn't really make sense.
It doesn't.
Even to a simple Lebanese boy like myself.
Mervyn, it must have been quite a task for you coming up with the music. How did you sort of combine, you know, that to have that Cantonese opera feel?
I think music is music, really. But the Cantonese opera feel comes with the arrangements, really. It's the it's how my arranger, Willy, how she's done it.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed with Chuan Yik as well, and Joe wanting the Chinese element in it. So we did that, and it's worked. I mean, it's not for all the pieces. Some of the songs is certainly quite Western. Sometimes you can't do much with one or two songs. It's the way it's written.
Okay.
And the composers have not actually written in the typical pentatonic scale.
Mm-hmm.
So we just made the best of what we could, but it's worked out.
Who composed most of the music?
Chuan Yik, right throughout.
Okay,
yeah.
All throughout.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
just sort of put it together.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Just sort of put it together.
Yeah.
Nothing important.
Just, you know, easy.
Yeah, we take a look at it, chop it, put it back here. And chop it, put it back.
Oh boy, have we done some chopping.
And then
Chuan Yik and Keegan, they know.
And then we tell him.
Oh my goodness, how have they taken to that?
Okay. Oh, they're okay. No, yeah. No. They know.
Because I'm sure you've sort of modified the script as well.
Oh, absolutely. Boy, have I modified the script. No. They know, and they expect that. Because, you know, unlike places like Australia or the West End or Europe, if a musical doesn't actually get to be shown until it's played so many other minor towns and, you know, what do they call it? They run it in and they change it and chop it and change it and chop it and change it. We don't have the luxury of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to do that during the rehearsal process or prior to us even starting rehearsals.
Okay.
When I read the script, I think, oh no, that's not going to work, so we'll change it.
Right.
But they expect that. I mean, Chuan Yik and Keegan have worked with us long enough and worked with me particularly long enough to know that they will not their musical will not be as they have written it.
Okay. You know, Joe, you and Farida have this strong inclination towards bringing in more, you know, Asian sort of feel to your production.
Absolutely.
I mean, we had the people on for the Japan month.
Yes, yes.
For Taiko Jikang and
yes,
the works.
Yes, yes.
Is that one of the reasons why you were sort of attracted to do this whole...
You know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, my darling.
Okay.
And we are doing theatre for Milesians.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just doing it for the English-speaking Milesians. We're doing it for the Tamil-speaking Milesians, the Hindi-speaking Milesians, the Chinese-speaking Milesians, the Malay-speaking Milesians. We're doing it for Malaysians, period.
Okay.
So, yeah, and so to me, it doesn't make any difference what language it's in.
Okay.
You know, it's Malaysian.
Just to make it clear, the musical is in English or is it in Cantonese?
Okay. 80% of the dialogue is in Cantonese and 50% of the songs are in Cantonese.
Okay.
But you don't have to be able to... Understand. You don't have to understand the story. It's a wonderfully simple yet moving, funny, glorious story.
Do you want to share that story with me? Yeah, or?
Yes, the like Joe said, there are actually 15 songs. And 8 of them are mainly in Cantonese. There's a smattering of English here and there at certain portions. 7 songs are in English. So that's how it is, actually. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll come to you in a bit, Lex, but just before we go into a quick break, what's the story? Do you want to share it with
me?
Sure,
darling. No, I can. Of course I can. I won't give the crux of it away, of course.
Yeah.
But it's, as I said earlier, it's about this young man who comes to apply for a position as an actor in a Cantonese opera troupe because he has a dream of becoming a huge star. He's not given a job as an actor. He's given a job as a little general worker. And then by fate, something happens to the incumbent superstar of the company, and he is forced to go on and perform, and he does a great job, and eventually he rises to become a big star himself, and then in the end he falls. Yes,
okay.
So it's the rise and fall of a musical star. But there's a lot of love involved. I mean, there's a love story involved. There's sort of parental, there's sort of mother-son relationships, father-daughter relationships, and yeah.
Everyday life issues, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Mira. God, you're intelligent.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Extremely.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Coming up, we'll find out more about Paper Crane, the musical, on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The business station.
It's that voice again. Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodhi. We're discussing the musical Paper Crane with Joe Hashem, the director, Mervyn Peters, musical director, and Lex Lakshman Balakrishnan, choreographer. You know, Lex, I didn't get to talk to you about the dance. How did you put it all together? I mean, you've done pretty much Indian classical dance, haven't you?
Yeah.
And to sort of bring about a Chinese feel to the whole thing, how did you do that?
As Joel was mentioning just now, you see, we want to get things clear that, you know, actually it's about a Cantonese opera troupe, and even the music is not about, it's not Cantonese opera. So most of the dance that most of the choreography actually involves deconstruction of traditional Chinese dance movement.
Okay.
So, but although the musics are very much more Broadway, I mean, it's very much more modern and more Western inclined. So it is... Its deconstruction was what I was trying to use throughout the entire, for my entire choreography, where actually I use some of this Chinese movement, like traditional Chinese movement, and deconstruct it to put it to fit for the song for In Paper Crane.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we call it contemporary.
Yes.
Everything's contemporary now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what? Who are the principal characters of the musical? Because I understand you have Patrick Teal as on his first musical role ever.
Yeah, this is... I mean...
Peter, have you worked with Patrick before?
Oh, many times. Patrick and I go back a long way.
Did he give you a hard time?
Absolutely not.
Are you sure?
Positive. He's
a darling
man. He
does all the time on the show.
Yeah, well, that's his image. You know? That's his image. But no. Patrick is an absolute professional, thorough gentleman when it comes to working. And this, as you rightly said, this is his first musical.
Yeah.
And he loves it. He's having a ball. I mean, there he is, this 60-something man, surrounded by all these beautiful young girls. I mean, why wouldn't he enjoy himself?
Right?
Yeah,
that's why exactly. That's why you're director.
Exactly.
Yeah.
but we have Patrick. We also have a wonderful actor, Roax.
Mm-hmm.
Roax is an award-winning actor.
Okay.
Amelia is an award-winning actress. Lee Elaine is an up-and-coming young thing. Colin Curtin, who's been around for a long time, he was in Broken Bridges, our very first musical. Who else? Mark? Who?
Kimmy.
Oh, Kimmy Q? Yeah. So, I mean, we've got a really nice lineup. It's a lovely lineup.
Right.
Practice,
just to go back a little, since you mentioned Broken Bridges, I mean, Lim Chuang Yik and Teng Keegan were involved in some very interesting production before, one of which, Broken Bridges.
Yes.
What were some of the others?
Broken Bridges, Tunku, Adam, and now this. Yeah, very, all of them kind of hallmark productions. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of, yeah.
How did you get to know them? Have you worked with them before?
They sent me a script. I think they were scraping the bottom of the barrel when they sent it to me, the script for Broken Bridges. They had tried everyone and everyone had turned them down. But I saw something in the script. I was proved correct. It was a beautiful story. And I think the reason why people turned them down is they were new and they didn't, you know, no one knew them. No one knew their work. And also, you know, to put on a musical is not a cheap thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's quite an expensive process. When I read the story, I thought, wow, this would make a great story. And it was a lovely story.
Right, I'm sure a lot of people come to you, Joe.
They do.
You're not going to take on all of it.
No, we can't.
How do you decide? How do you decide?
Well, I have to use my gut feel, and also I will discuss it with Farida mainly. She's my muse, in a manner of speaking.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it, you know, I've often consulted Mervyn, for instance, if it has to do with music. What do you think of this music? And what do you think of this? What do you think of that? So it's not. But ultimately, I have to make the decision as the artistic director. It's ultimately my decision, and sometimes I may make the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. I'm not infallible.
Of course.
There's only one being that's infallible, and that's Farida. No.
But, you know, you've got money to lose when you make those wrong decisions.
Oh, absolutely. Money that we don't have.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why it becomes more and more difficult, Mira. It becomes difficult for us to, you know, we used to be a little bit easier in the things that we chose to do, but now we have to be a little bit more choosy because of the economic climate.
Of course, yeah. Right. Just coming back to the production, you've got, what, 17 strong singing and dancing ensemble plus a 7-piece live band. What can you tell me about that?
The ensemble is very new, certainly to working with me. I've never worked with them really. Mm-hmm. None of them. But it's been quite a job. Very different ensemble compared to the past few musicals I worked on.
Is it because you're not familiar with them, or
partly that, but I think it's also got to do with their backgrounds. They're from Chinese theatre, and that makes difficult working because they have a certain way of pronouncing words, for example.
Yes.
You can't hold it against them. It's their whole life they've been doing that.
Yes.
So you try to get them to be, well, more, get the words more pronounced. So that takes a bit of doing. Mm-hmm. But they have been game, so that makes it very good, actually. Okay. As far as the band goes, I worked with 6 of them in the Blazing Girls. So we've got a 7th person, and they're all a bunch of young musicians, except for two of them, I think, who are in their early 30s. The rest are about 22 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Old, early 30s.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mervyn, you didn't have to work with, you know, an ensemble from the Chinese theatre. You could have worked with, you know, anyone who's...
Well, they came for auditions.
Right.
The others didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, it's one of those things. But it's fine. It's, you know.
But Mira, if I can just interrupt, I know you told me not to speak unless I was spoken to.
That's okay.
But thank you, boss.
You're
But the reason why we're working with the Chinese speaking people is we wanted specifically Chinese speaking kids to be involved.
Okay. Lex, your dancers, are they all, you know, of one background?
The ensembles actually come from different backgrounds. Actually, some of them are trained in Chinese dance.
Right.
Some of them are ballet trained, and some of them are commercial hip hop modern dance trained. So we have a mixed ensemble. Mm-hmm. But of course, some of them are very new. Some of them are very new. So it was a very interesting process for me also to work with new people, mm-hmm. because the experience, you know, it's a lifetime experience to be on stage to do a musical.
Of course.
So actually we share a lot of experience between, I mean, like personally me and also the ensembles to actually to fit in the entire the bill to put up a musical and to dance and act and sing at the same time.
What a mix, my goodness. You know, you come from a certain type of dance expertise, and then the rest, it's a mishmash of a whole lot of people. Joe Hashem, you're the director of all of this.
I know.
How did you keep it all under control?
Oh, because I'm a genius. No. I mean, you can never do something like this on your own.
No, you can't.
No, you need a very strong choreographer. You need a very strong musical director. You need a very strong executive producer, and you need very talented people surrounding you. I mean, virtually, I come in and I say, no, I don't like that. We have to change it. It's, you know,
doesn't go down well.
I mean, what to do? I forgot to mention.
No wonder they don't like you.
I know they hate me. Oh. I forgot to mention one other actor who was earlier in, like, Sun Yun.
Okay.
He also was involved in the early productions that we did. But yeah, I mean, when you know the role of the director, if you don't have good people around you, then you really are screwed, you know.
Literally.
I mean, absolutely. You can't do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You can scream to high hell if you want to, but you need the support.
The set has been designed by who? Omar Ali and Usman Mokhtar?
Yeah.
How have they portrayed the changes throughout the years?
Well, actually, fortunately for them, the change only comes toward the end of the production.
Okay.
Toward the end of the show. And it comes about because of a fire. So they'll be seeing, audience will be seeing a fire on stage. Yeah.
Okay.
They may not get to see it after the first night, but no.
When does it start again? 27th July. You want to be there.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yes.
You've got Japanese costume designer Shingo Tokihiro.
Yes, I think. Did you interview him? No.
No, I haven't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, no. Well, you would have had to interview him through an interpreter.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's from Japan. Yeah, he first worked with us. Farida first used him for her production of Rashomon, when she did Rashomon several years ago. And he was introduced to us via the Japan Foundation. And he's an extremely talented man. The audience, when they go to see this production, will probably think, oh, there's something different about the costumes. Yeah, it's because they have a slight Japanese influence.
Mm.
And that makes it very interesting. You know, makes it very interesting.
My goodness.
Yeah, what
a mishmash of everything.
Yeah. But I tell you what, you will laugh a bit, you will be enthralled by the story, and you better take a box of tissues with you.
Okay, all right then. So after this, you'll be traveling to Penang. Are you looking forward to that, Mervyn?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The last experience in Penang was very good, actually. Ladies and girls, certainly looking forward to that.
Right. Yeah. How has the Penang pack taken off, Joe?
Oh, darling, it's been a dream.
Oh, wonderful.
It's been just, you know, I was just speaking to Malik, and he's thinking of going to Penang, and I said, you've got to go in and have a look at it. Because you'd be so proud of what we've done up there. It is just so beautiful and so functional, and the Penang theatre going public, and even those who were not previously involved in theatre, are just singing the praises of the place, because now they have somewhere they can call home. You know, it's a smaller scale of KL Pack, mm-hmm. actually.
Right.
It's beautiful. But it's right on the water as well.
And it's a great start, really.
Oh, it's wonderful.
To venture out of the Klang Valley.
Yes.
Your final sale, Lex, where should all of us come and watch?
No, everybody should come and watch Paper Crane.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
Because he choreographed it.
Because this musical, for this year's musical, it had been a completely different experience for me, actually. Because, first of all, because it was a challenge for me, because we have to deal with Chinese material, you see. So it had been a wonderful experience even for me, because it was actually two way of learning, like me with the ensembles and me, and did a lot of research of, you know,
there was a lot of
traditional dance
exchange.
And everything. Yes, mm-hmm. There was a lot of exchange, so it would been very interesting.
Right.
And I would really say that this musical would actually be sold for anybody. I mean, although it's in Cantonese English, it's very clear that everybody will not get lost into the story because it's quite clear.
Okay.
It's very clear.
Will there be surtitles? No.
No. I made the decision not to have surtitles because I personally find them very distracting.
Mm.
But what we will be doing is providing every audience member with a little brochure, a little leaflet that will have a very detailed but very short scene-by-scene synopsis.
Okay.
So that if they feel they're getting lost, all they have to look at it and say, that's what's happened.
Okay. Melvin, yeah. Your final sell as to why we all should come.
Because the music is very nice to listen to. Yeah, that's a cliched answer. But it's true. It's there's some very nice tunes in it, actually.
Of course. Yeah. Looking forward to it. Yeah. Joe Hashem, your final sell?
Sorry?
Your final sell.
Are you speaking to me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. No.
You cannot say anything after this.
All right.
Yeah.
No, I think, Mira, that people should come and see this because it's almost like a once-in-a-lifetime treat. Very rarely do we see a Cantonese musical, you know. Most of them are done in either, you know, in Mandarin or English, Malay, but never, hardly ever in Cantonese.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason why. But I think, basically, as I said earlier on, it's the story. It's a great story. And they will walk out feeling, like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not, what was that all about?
I don't think so. I hope not. If they walk out saying that, then I failed.
Okay. I'll come and I'll let you know.
All right.
Right? So, Paper Crane, the musical, plays from the 27th of July until the 19th of August at Pentas 1 in KL Pak, Central Park, Jalan Strawn, Kuala Lumpur. Tickets prices range from 40 ringgit to 110 ringgit and they are available. You can call 0340479000 or you can walk in and purchase them at KL Pak itself. For more information, do visit klpak.org. That phone number again, 0340479000. Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you, Mira.
It's been a pleasure meeting you. Mervyn Peters, musical director, Joe Hashem, director, as well as Lex Lakshman Balakrishnan, choreographer of the musical titled Paper Crane on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.